Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 604 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden. This week I go on location as we discuss Chavin Barn Theater's production of Elf with the Elf himself. Chase Miller and I chat about Elf at Chavin's Barn Theater, and we're going to get into that conversation just after, you guessed it, these brief messages.
Would you like to be a pal of the Inexplicable Dumb Show? Well, why don't you head on over to www.inexplicabledumbshow.com and look for the Hosting Donations Accepted button. Press that and make a donation and help the Dumb Show cover its web hosting fees. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support.
Bad credit? No credit? High interest credit cards? Don't work from home. Working from home is for suckers. Go out there with headshot in hand. Audition. Book gigs. It'll be time well spent. At least you'll be paying the rent.
Here's how.
All right, IDSers, I am on secret location. I'm at a secret location, which is, well, the Barn's Barn. We're going to say that?
That's a fair assessment, I'd say.
The
yeah,
Barn's rehearsal space. And I'm joined by Chase Miller, who's played Buddy the Elf in Elf. Welcome, Chase. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thanks so much for having me.
No worries. So, Elf is, of course, going off swimmingly, going well. Rave reviews for you.
Well, thanks.
Everybody's saying, this guy's really great, really good. So, how is it going for you?
It's great. On its face, it's a little bit like running a marathon in a lace front, which is great. It's a lot of fun, and it's equal parts like getting hit by a Christmas freight train every night, and equal parts like pure joy and love and Christmas spirit. So we have a lot of fun.
So in the movie, of course, we have the famous movie, right?
Yep.
They've made it into the musical, and most of the storyline narrative from the movie transitions into the musical, correct?
Basically, they've made a lot of minor changes for things that wouldn't necessarily translate to the stage. So obviously, there's no shower scene,
right?
Because that's a little hard to do in even a proscenium theater, let alone the round. And they sort of how Buddy ends up disappointing his dad is a little different. There's not a South Pole elf throwdown scene.
Right.
All of your major plot points are the same. All the best jokes are still there, the good moments. It's still Buddy and Jovi. Buddy still goes to find his dad. His dad still works as a children's book publisher. So all of your favorites are still there. They basically sort of like renegotiated the mechanics to make it work for the theater.
So in the challenge of playing Buddy, who always seems to be up, mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Do you have your own little kind of voodoo doll in the dressing room to balance out the positive, or how do you maintain Buddy's energy?
I do a lot of non-talking and napping when I'm not on stage. No, actually, I love Christmas. Christmas and I are old friends. I always make the joke that if I could bottle Christmas, I would just sort of have it on a steady IV drip throughout the rest of the year to like balance everything out. So no, it's a lot of me harnessing my favorite Christmas memories. I was a kid that would fall asleep under the tree a lot. My birthday happens to be in the Christmas season. So the whole of December has always been a very special time for me. So it's really a chance to sing and dance and celebrate one of my favorite things. So
cool. Now, what has been approaching the role? What has been your biggest challenge in bringing Buddy to life?
That's a great question.
I get one of those in interviews.
This is it. This is the one. Okay. I can't blow this. I would have to say, I watched the movie once early before rehearsal started, just to sort of remind myself how it goes. I mean, I was familiar with it, but I sort of watch it maybe once a year, like the rest of us do. And I think the hardest part, one of the hard parts, was negotiating what audiences would expect from Will Ferrell's interpretation of Buddy and how to discover it in my own way that felt real and grounded and truthful. It was good because the writing's really good, and the situations that Buddy finds himself in, they're constructed in such a way that the reactions are natural. There's sort of one way Buddy could process it based on what you know about Buddy.
Right.
So even though it's not exactly Will Ferrell, we're sort of manifesting the same truth, and it sort of comes out in a similar vein. So that was – finding those nuances was a struggle. And also he's written a lot – younger is probably a strong word, but there's a lot more innocent wonder in Buddy – in the musical than there is in the movie. So negotiating how to keep him believably 30 and also believably has been raised on the North Pole for all 30 years of his life was an interesting exploration, but it's been great.
So is this because the reviews have been really great for your performances. Is this a dream role of sense for you? I mean, did it start out that way and kind of, would you do this role again, say, several years down the line, or is this like, I've done it, I'm going to go away and...
Would I do the role again? 100% yes. Could I do the role again in 10 years? I don't know. I would probably turn it down for the same reason Will Ferrell's been turning down the sequel ever since the first one came out. I don't know. I think, you know, muscling myself into those tights in 10 years would be its own kind of struggle. But when it first opened on Broadway back in 2010, it was one of those shows that opened for Christmas and then would run sort of every year over the holidays after that. So, when it first came out, I thought it would be a fantastically fun thing to be a part of and to play Buddy and hearing the music and loving the music. So it was definitely it's definitely one of those bucket list roles that I love that I get to check off now. And yeah, I would play him next year and the year after that and the year after that if I get the chance.
You hear that, the Barnard?
Right. If anyone's listening, bookable next Christmas. put it on the seat. I'm available. So
how do you think this role has informed you as an artist? What sort of either pushed yourself in a new direction or untapped something that you haven't used in several years as far as your tools of tricks or, you know?
That's a good question.
I stretch it out sometimes,
man,
and I try to get two.
You're two for two today.
I got my degree from the Larry King Journal of Journalism, so you just kind of talk until something happens.
Fantastic. A couple of ways, I would say. I think it's really informed me as a human being, which of course directly correlates to me as an artist. Buddy approaches everyone and everything with a clean slate and expects nothing but the best from them because he doesn't know any better. And I think the world in which we currently find ourselves in, it is easy to get mired down in how the human fabric seems to be forcing itself together at the moment. And Buddy is a great reminder that there is legitimate good in almost everyone. And it's sort of, it's a personal challenge to find that. But if there's a huge reward at the end, if you do. And also, one of the things that my teachers always said to me was you get 5 years of talent and the rest is technique. And I was always like, ha, 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 ha. But that is so true. I mean, just being able to sustain the show 8 times a week, 6 times a week, however many times we do it. There's been I've really had to lean on those old lessons and the warm-ups and the stretching and the preparation and allowing myself the time to get into both the physical and the headspace to do this, you know, to hop on this freight train.
Right.
Every night.
Is there a moment every night that you're like, really look forward to, or do you have a map in your brain where like, okay, I've made it to this point, you know, is there a highlight for you? I'm going to ask you in two ways. Highlight for you personally.
Okay.
And highlight for the show that you're like, oh, this is a beautiful moment in the show overall.
There are two really great moments for me personally. One, when Buddy has officially, it's been confirmed that Buddy is Walter's biological son, and he takes Buddy to work with him. They've written Buddy this amazing sort of song and dance man number where Buddy celebrates the fact that he's going to grow up and be just like his dad. And that's always really fun for me because it's jazzy, and it's the kind of musical theater that I fell in love with that got me into musical theater. So I get to sort of be a part of that and celebrate that every night. And there's this really great moment near the end of Act Two where Buddy breaks down for a crowd of non-believers in Santa what Christmas is all about. And why I love it is because he explains the feelings you get for Christmas and what Christmas does for humanity and people in a really charming way. Hearing how Buddy attributes certain feelings to certain, you know, that we know Buddy thinking that eating spaghetti for breakfast with your baby brother is equivalent to like a fantastic Christmas memory is really charming. But there's also that sort of, you think about like if you had siblings growing up, you're sort of able to pinpoint specific Christmas memories, and it really harnesses on the joy, which is really great. I mean, one of my favorite things about Christmas is I can't think of any other time of year where humankind sort of makes an effort to be the best version of themselves.
Right.
So we sort of, as people, over the holidays especially, make sure we're checking those boxes of like kindness and tolerance and giving. And it's just really great. He sort of reminds the audience why it's important to invest in each other, not just the holiday of Christmas. So.
Cool. And then as far as the show overall, if you could describe a moment for people to look forward to watch forward to, and I know it's kind of difficult being the title roller here, but is there a moment that doesn't necessarily involve you that you're like, that's awesome?
There are several. The company of Elf is great, and I am thrilled that I get to share the stage with all of them. And my favorite part is they're an ensemble. And like you said, being the track that I am, I don't always get to play with them as much as I want to. But you will look around at that ensemble, regardless of who they are, and you'll be able to discern who those people are and what story those people have to tell. And so it's great. It's all over the play. There's so many the ensemble of actors has created so many wonderfully nuanced characters, even if they don't talk. Like the people who are quietly shuffling around Rockefeller Center while Jovi and I skate around the big tree, each have their own show going on. They're people doing their own thing. And so there's always a story to find, and there's always a person to look at. And so there are little hidden nuggets of actor magic all over that show. Okay. And I haven't even been able to see all of them.
Cool.
So,
and this runs through?
It runs through December 22nd. If you're out there and haven't gotten your tickets yet, you're officially a cotton-headed ninny muggins. Don't be that anymore. And get them.
Hurry quick. You are selling out.
Pickings are slim.
I agree. So we could go to chaffinsbarntheater.com for ticket information.
That yes. Thing.
And I will have links to that on the show notes page for this particular episode at www.inexplicabledumbshow.com. Well, thanks, Chase.
Hey, thanks, John. Thanks for having me. This has been a lot of fun.
If you love the Inexplicable Dumb Show as much as I do, don't be shy about it. Go ahead and wear your feelings on your sleeve, or at least your chest. Head on over to our Cafe Press store and wear your support for the IDS proudly. www.cafepress.com/dumbshow.
So that is it. I'd like to thank Jason Miller for chatting with me during rehearsal for the children's show at Chaffin's Barn, but chatting with me about Elf. So ticket information we discussed about in the body of this podcast will be found on the show notes page for this particular episode at www.inexplicabledumbshow.com. Hey, do you want to be part of the Dumb Show? Then please do so by calling the voicemail line at 615-866-1282 or put your thoughts in an email, podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com. Or follow the show on Twitter at InexplicableDS, at capital I, Inexplicable, capital D, capital S. Kind of the latest comings and goings and whatnot for the show via our Twitter feed. So next week, we'll go back to the barn to talk a little game show show. So until next week, this is John Malden saying, hey, I'll see ya. Bye.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality wave files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at magnatune.com. That's M-A-G-N-A-T-U-N-E. Magnitude. We are not evil.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com. Pop Alternative Media.